So tonight, we're going to continue with this morning's message. We've been looking at the living a balanced life, and we're looking primarily at living and having financial balance in our lives. And we know we need to live wisely, and this morning we were looking at living responsibly. We know that there is a driving force, and that driving force is the doctrine of God and the doctrine of man, and that those two things are the driving force for us to live responsibly. And the three things that we need to always remember is that God is the one that, that God is the owner of everything, that we are merely managers, and that we are accountable to Him. Tonight, I want to give you seven suggestions that is going to enable you and help you to live responsibly so that you can make the decisions that you need to make. Now, these seven suggestions are different areas of finance. They're kind of, some of them can actually be traps that once we fall into them, it's very hard to get out. But these seven suggestions are here so that we can truly, if we see ourselves in one of these, we need to start adjusting things. We need to start fine-tuning things so that we can make godly decisions. Now, how many remember the seven criteria, the 7C criteria for making good decisions? Do you need your notes? That's not going to help if you didn't write it down. We need to have these ingrained in us, not just for the sake of memorization so you can raise your hand when the pastor calls on you, but so that when life throws a curve at you and you need to make a decision, you can start to exercise these seven things that will be the criteria for you to make a godly decision. Remember the first C, conviction within. The second C is the circumstances outside. The third C is common sense. The fourth C is counsel of others. The fifth C is confirmation through Scripture. The sixth C is the center of God's will. And the seventh is a commitment of faith. So when we are at a point of decision, what kind of a conviction do we have? What are the circumstances that are leading up to this? Because, see, if we're only using human logical reasoning and the way we feel at the time, chances are we're not going to make a godly decision that's going to be right. And then we have to live with the consequences of that decision. And so many times we are fixing things because of a bad decision that we made. So these seven suggestions tonight are there so that it might help you not to have a criteria to make a decision, but you can see whether you need to make an adjustment in your life. And the first thing is this. Learn everything you can. Learn everything you can about what God says about money and God's ways. God's ways are higher than our ways. Amen? So if we are truly going to make godly decisions, we need to know how God works. So learn everything you can about what God says about money. And that there's a ton of that information here. When I say to learn everything that you can learn about what God says about money, a lot of people will do some Bible searching and they'll have a criteria. They'll look at money and things of this nature and tithing and all of those things. And they will spend time in study, and because they were in God's Word, now they leave the devotional side alone. Or they spend time in their devotion time, and they don't take time to study God's Word. God's Word is worthy of us spending time in it because it is who He is. He has given it to us. It is a revelation of who God is. God's ways are different than our ways. Our thoughts are lower than God's thoughts. So if we can study and learn all we can about what God says to be true about money, we will certainly understand that, number one, He owns everything. It all belongs to Him. All of our money, all of our assets, all of our resources, it belongs to Him. And we are merely managers. As I said in the last message on being wise, money is not something that you are to, it's not something to gain. Money is a tool that God gives you and that God bestows upon you. Money is a means to the end. And so if we're truly going to be responsible, we have to learn all we can about what God says about money. Secondly, we need to develop a financial plan. Whether you are wealthy or whether you are living paycheck to paycheck, it does not matter. You need to have a financial plan. Because if you fail to plan, you'll always fail. It's that simple. No one ever tries to fail, but they fail to plan. You need to have a financial plan. You know when your bills come in. You know when they are due. Write it down in a ledger. Use an Excel spreadsheet if you want. Whatever you are comfortable with, use it so that you can develop a financial plan, which includes savings. It includes tithing. It includes paying all your bills and paying them on time. A good financial plan will have dollars at the end rather than zeros. Now, it's hard sometimes because life throws a curve at you. Every financial plan I've ever done, I've had to, after I start it, I have to change it a little bit. And as I get through into the year, I have to change it a little more. And I have to modify it here and modify it here. And, you know, if I pay something, I can pay this one now, but it's not due now. But I could actually, if I move this over, I could pay that larger bill now. And then I won't be so strapped at the end of the month and so forth and so forth and so forth. And you can massage and change that plan around. But if you have no plan, you're flying by the seat of your pants. And you're paying the one that squeaks the worst. Guess what? The squeaky wheel always gets the grease. Some way, somehow, you get a call and you don't know who that is. Oh, it must be a collector. And you shut them off. Develop a financial plan. Thirdly, continually adjust your attitude. Continually adjust your attitude. Now remember, adjust. We don't need to go through that. You ought to have that now because I've said it over 20 times. Adjust. Attitude, decisions, Jesus, understanding, submitting, and trusting. Adjust your attitude constantly because what happens is pretty soon, if we don't adjust our attitude, the money that we have starts to belong to us. And we start taking ownership of it. And then we start spending it like we want rather than the way God wants. See, if we take ownership of that money, then we do what we want. And many times when we do what we want and we don't have a financial plan, we end up spending money that needs to be set aside to pay bills. That's why financial advisors, some will say to use an envelope. And each week you put X amount of dollars in the envelope towards your mortgage and your rent. You put X amount of dollars in an envelope for your car payment. You put X amount of dollars in an envelope for your gas in your car and put so much in an envelope. And you have all these different envelopes that you operate out of. Guess what? That's a budget. It's a budget. If you continually adjust your attitude and you have a financial plan, you can see what God is doing. And you can be open to, well, you know what? I only gave X amount of dollars to Annie Armstrong, and I've got a little bit of this surplus. And so God lays on your heart, oh, you want me to give a little extra? Now you can. Why? Because it's not yours to begin with. It's God's. God lets you use it as a means to get you through life. So adjust our attitudes constantly. Fourthly, live on cash, not credit cards. Woo! It's huge. Live on cash, not on credit cards. A credit mentality is destructive. Because before you know it, you just keep sliding the plastic and you keep enjoying stuff, and then you got to pay that plastic bill. And pretty soon it starts adding up. And when you have to pay penalties, late fees, and enormous interest, the principal doesn't come down very fast. Credit card debt is very serious. I think there's like $1.3 trillion in debt in the United States because of credit cards. Wow. Remember when I started this segment? That citizens of the U.S. spend $1.26 for every dollar they earn. That's because they're putting it on plastic. Now, there's nothing wrong with using a credit card if you use it wisely. Some people will pay all of their bills with their credit card and then once a month pay their credit card off. Why do they do that? Well, they get mileage. They get miles so that they can fly free because they have a credit card that goes back to an airline or something of this nature. And so they pay all of their bills with a credit card, and then once a month they pay that credit card off, and it just gives them miles. So now they can fly for free. Guess what? They're saving money by doing so. They're not paying penalties. They're not paying late fees. They're not paying enormous interest. They're using it the proper way. But if you are just sliding the card and racking up the debt, it will eat you up. And there are people I know that 60% of their income goes to credit card payments. And it's not because they're paying their bills that way. It's stuff that they've racked up over a period of time. They just keep swiping the card. It's like free money. And it's devastating. It will eat you up. So use cash. Pay as you go or don't go. There's a lot of things to do that are free. Pay as you go or don't go. Sixthly, eliminate debt. Eliminate debt. It's much easier to get into debt than it is to get out of debt. Eliminate debt. I'm basically debt-free other than the pickup payment and the car payment. That's it. Motorcycle's paid for. Everything else is paid for. I do have rent that I pay every month. And we have electric bill and water bill and all of those things just like everybody else has. But basically, I'm debt-free. Do you know my daughter has been married how many years? 8? And it was several years before she was married that she went to school. I'm still paying her some of her student loan. Oh, are you kidding me? Yeah. When Kathy and I lived in Carthage, Missouri, we had a rock house with a blacktop circle drive on 22 acres with a small lake in the back. We had 5 or 6 horses and 3 dogs and 2 cats. We had 1 bathroom, 3-bedroom home. She wanted the bathroom remodeled, and we weren't quite ready to spend the big bucks on remodeling the bathroom, but we decided to use a credit card. We remodeled that bathroom, and I'm telling you what, it looked nice, and it was good. I'm telling you what, I don't know if it was as good as Jerry's work, but, it was pretty good stuff. Years later, I'd surrendered to preach. Now my income is 1/4 what it used to be. I sell the home, and 15 years later, after I've sold the home, I was still paying on the credit card for the bathroom remodel. Hey, my income went down. I was still paying. I wasn't getting charged any late fees, but because it was basically maxed out and we had cut it up a long time ago, we couldn't use it anyway. We were just paying the thing off a little bit at a time. 15 years it took us to pay that for that bathroom remodel. Boy, that's a joy, isn't it? Eliminate debt. Eliminate debt. I've talked to the people with the student loan. And when I have a debt that I'm going to pay off, I take the ones that are the worst, highest interest or whatever the case might be. And that's the one I pay off first. They're not charging me any interest. So it's like, okay, fine. Instead of paying that off, it's like, I'll pay you a little bit at a time. And I don't care how long it takes. Since it's not costing me anything. So I negotiated that with them years ago. So basically, well, it's $2,000 is all. It's not really any kind of major debt. Eliminate debt. Because when you eliminate debt, you are free from the bondage of debt. Now, there is a scripture, and I know you're going to have to go toink, 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 to go back to it. Proverbs 21:5. There we go. Thank you. I love the 21st chapter of Proverbs because it's got all the stuff in there with women. You know? Read it. It's hilarious. It's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Yeah, yeah. 19 says, it's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious woman. Yeah, yeah. That's not the one I'm looking at. I'm looking at verse 5. Notice this. The thoughts of the diligent lend only to plenteous, but of everyone that is hasty only to want. Now keep it there. The thoughts of the diligent lead to plenteous, plenteousness. When you're diligent, you're being responsible. Those individuals that have a financial plan, that are dealing with cash, that are paying off debt, that's being diligent, that's being responsible. And the end result is having plenty. But notice what the other part of that verse says. It says, but everyone that is hasty only to want. When you buy things hastily and you make decisions like this, rather than going through a criteria, guess what? You're going to end up with wantonness. Now go back, if you would. Go back past eliminate debt. Because the sixth one is avoid impulsive spending. Avoid impulsive spending. You know, I hate to go shopping. Number one, I'm an introvert, so I don't really like crowds. I don't like going to the mall. I don't like going to the store. It's not for me. But I hate shopping, not only because of that, but because it turns on my lust button. Now, do you know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about lusting after women or anybody else. I'm talking about, ooh, I'd really like to have that. Ooh, I'd really like to have that. Oh, can you imagine if I had that? So, yeah, I don't even like going to Lowe's because I see all these tools and it's like, it turns on your lust button. Avoid impulsive spending. If you have lived this long without that, give it 3 days. Give it a week, pray about it, and then see if those seven criteria, see if there's a conviction from within, circumstance without, common sense, counsel of others, confirmation of Scripture, center of God's will, commitment of faith. See if any of those apply. And if they don't, you got to ask yourself, do I really need this or do I just want this? Avoid impulsive spending. God wants us to have the best. And what I mean by that is this. When you buy tires, when you buy anything, they have good, better, best. Sometimes good is okay with me if that's going to get me through what I need. But God does want us to have nice things. But he doesn't want us to spend impulsively. He doesn't want us to be like the rest of the world and just, ooh, I like that, and just gather things unto yourself and fill that void that's in your life with material objects. Impulsive spending can be very damaging because what it does is it takes money away from future payments. Sometimes to make a payment on a bigger bill, a doctor bill, whatever the case might be, if you spent it up here, now you can't pay for it there. So avoid impulsive spending, lastly. Refuse get-rich-quick schemes. Refuse them. You've all heard of them. Get-rich-quick schemes. Just avoid them. If they sound too good to be true, they probably are too good to be true. If there's a lot of pressure involved and you got to make the decision right now, get up and walk away. Get up and walk away. Not only is that avoiding impulsive spending, but it's get rich quick. There are times people come to you and, you know, hey, if you just do this, you know, if you did this. Now, if God has given you a special gift on investing or something of that nature, that's great. But avoid get-rich-quick schemes because many times they are too good to be true. Now, the one thing that I can tell you is that, in closing, that more money gives you more options. That's all it does. More money gives you more options. Less money gives you less options. So if we are truly being responsible, we're going to have more options. But if we're not responsible, guess what? We don't have as many options. That's why God wants us to live responsibly, so that we have all the options available. And when we go through that 7-point criteria, we can truly see, is this what God is wanting? Is this God's hand directing me? These are simply 7 suggestions. Learn everything you can about what God says about money. Develop a financial plan. Continually adjust your attitude. Live on cash rather than credit cards. Eliminate debt. Avoid impulsive spending and refuse get-rich-quick schemes. When we do that, we can truly live responsibly and bring more balance into our lives so that we can be the individuals that God is molding us and shaping us to be. It forms character in our lives. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you so much. We thank you, Father, that you are taking us down this road. And Father, we pray that through this time that we can be drawn close to you, and that you can truly guide us every step of the way. We pray, Father, that as we leave this place, that we'll take these things, we will mull them over, we will look at your word. And Father, that we might truly see all that you're trying to accomplish in our lives and through our lives for your kingdom's purpose. And we thank you now and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.